It would go to Sirius. Oh, you know what? I didn't record this. How silly of me. Who just set that recording up?
Yeah, sorry, man. I'm an hour late.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks. Yeah. Anyway, so let's get back.
Yeah, thank you. So for taking that question, and also it's just, even though it seems very theoretical for us now, I think it can also be understood practically.
Well, yeah, and we talked about Elizabeth. Yeah, okay. Yeah, and DK felt it was important enough to include it in three of his books. Initiation, Human and Solar, first book, he mentions the seven paths very briefly, but then he gives a pretty long section at the end of A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, and then brings it up again in Rays and Initiations, where he talks about them in a yet a different way. So clearly, yes, it's theoretical for us now, but he felt that it was important that we know it. Okay.
Did you want me to still read? And is this the
Yes, would
section?
you? Yeah, I was just catching up here. Yeah, if you would, please.
Okay. Thank you. In the beginning, that which is called in mystic phraseology cosmic desire evolves into absolute light. Now, light without any shadow would be absolute light. In other words, absolute darkness, as physical science seeks to prove. That shadow appears under the form of primordial matter, allegorized, if one likes, in the shape of the spirit of creative fire or heat. If, rejecting the poetical form and allegory, science chooses to see in this, the primordial fire mist, it is welcome to do so. Whether one way or the other, whether Fauchat or the famous force of science, nameless and as difficult of definition as our Fauchat himself, that something caused the universe to move with circular motion, as Plato has it, or as the occult teaching expresses it.
Thank you. Okay, so first, in the beginning, that which is called in mystic phraseology cosmic desire evolves into absolute light. Now, light without any shadow would be absolute light. In other words, absolute darkness as physical science seeks to prove it. Well, I don't know about that last phrase. Science was exploring ideas in the late part of the 19th century that it has ceased to engage themselves in, but who knows? The phrase in the beginning, very beginning here, could either be a reference to the beginning of the entire universe, or more likely, knowing how HBB frames her teachings, to the birth of this second solar system. The genesis of light from darkness, which is absolute light in this first stage, is described in the first five verses of stanza three. And I think it's interesting enough to reread these. I'm going to put it over to you, Mikhail, if you would choose a reader.
Janet, you want to read?
Sure. One, the last vibration of the seventh eternity thrills through infinitude. The mother swells, expanding from within, without, like the bud of the lotus. Two, the vibration sweeps along, touching with its swift wing the whole universe and the germ that dwelleth in darkness. The darkness that breathes over the slumbering waters of life. Three, darkness radiate light, and light drops one solitary ray into the mother deep. The ray shoots through the virgin egg. The ray causes the eternal egg to thrill and drop the non-eternal germ, which condenses into the world egg. Four. Then the three fall into the four. The radiant essence becomes seven inside, seven outside. A luminous egg, which in itself is three, curdles and spreads the milk-white curds throughout the depths of mother, the root that grows in the depths of the ocean of life. Five, the root remains, the light remains, the curds remain, and still, O is one.
Okay, so we have the genesis of light here, right? The setup coming into form through vibration, very numinal form. And then this absolute darkness that HPP describes in this previous section, right? From absolute darkness, it radiates light, and this light drops one solitary ray into the mother deep being the world of cosmic form, right? That so this is at the highest noumenal levels that darkness radiates light, and this further penetration happens through light itself, which drops a solitary ray into the form world, the mother deep. The ray shoots through the virgin egg because nothing had happened yet. The worlds did not exist. All these levels of cosmic differentiation were at that point undeveloped. And causes the causal egg to thrill, and you have like a birth of a non-eternal germ that drops then from this eternal egg, which is cosmic, and condenses into the world egg, which now takes us into our systemic reality, right? I won't go through the rest, but that just shows a kind of genesis of this absolute light, which is sent forth from absolute darkness. Okay. Yes, Barbara.
So how does the light relate to the fohat? Previous section, the fohat is
right.
Flowing through.
Well, fohat is a third aspect entity. It's electricity on every one of the cosmic physical planes. It demonstrates at different levels. For instance, on the fourth plane, the Buddhic plane, it's color. On the third plane, it's the sound. It's the word, a specific form of the sound. On the second plane, it's the sound itself, which is akin to the vibratory level that was described in this. In this quote, right? This vibration sweeps along. But here, this is describing a cosmic reality, whereas the seven levels of Fohat, also called the seven Fohatic brothers, are the seven forms of electricity on the cosmic physical plane. So light is the second aspect within the cosmic physical plane. It's the result of the second aspect, which we call the soul. One of the offshoots is of the soul is both magnetism and light or radiation. And this radiant quality is the light. So this would connect, it would be Fohat is a form creator, works with the David kingdom, and is a third aspect oriented being. It quote unquote hardens the atoms. It brings spirit and matter together. This then evolves into, you know, so that's father, mother kind of thing, spirit and matter. And then this evolves, or the third, the sun, is born out of that. And from the sun is emanates light. There's born light. So that's kind of roughshod, but that's what comes off top of my head on that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, let's see where we are here. Okay, so HPB goes into a deeper explanation of how cosmic desire evolves into absolute light in the Secret Doctrine dialogues. But the profundity of the subject doesn't keep her from bantering with her questioners. For example, when a Mr. Mead asks, not here, but in another place, asks, how can Gaia be said to be co-evil? HB shoots back, ask Hesiod, take him by the beard. So she was always making fun of her questioners. But they were persistent. And here's one of the more serious exchanges. Can we get a reader, please?
Kirsten.
Yes. Mr. B. Kitely, can you give us something more definite on what is meant here by cosmic desire, which evolves into absolute light? Madame Blavatsky, now there is a question for a modest young woman. Nevertheless, I will attempt to explain it again in a few words. Pure force is the principle of a creation and is identical with Brahma's will to create. Chaos is absolutely limitless. It is a dark, shoreless cloud of vapors. Is it called vapors?
Vapors,
which gives birth to the universe. Now, if you remember that the first of the three primordial elements at the first flutter of differentiation were and are chaos and eros, elements that were never conceived as they were coexistent potentiality in all eternity. You will perhaps understand that which I say, he, Eros, who is now the god of human love, was simply an abstract idea, an image of the divine creative force, that universal force of attraction, which causes particles to congregate, combine, and correlate, and to produce a triad. Well, that creative force is our Fohat, who neither creates nor does he produce anything per se by himself, but in virtue of his action, elements as well as beings seek to unite in polarity, from which unison results life. Remember that in the first cosmogony, out of chaos are born Erebos and Nyx, primordial and already differentiated darkness divided into two principles, male and female, from which emanate the other two, ether and Hemera, the light of the superior regions, and that inferior or terrestrial atmosphere. Light is born of darkness, number two, Nyx, darkness on the differentiated plane, and that darkness begets light under the influence of creative love, or that which is called cosmic desire. Or again, Fohat, the electric creative principles which make of all one, and which produces the three, the correlation. Mr. B. Keightley, what you have said there is very good, and it is a great deal more than you have said anywhere in the secret doctrine, Madame Blavatsky. But I thought you stood there over me when I was writing.
Thank you. Okay, so you know, there's a lot here that relates Fohat to light. Very one thing I do want to point out is this, you know, these this theogony that describes Erebos and Nyx, which is the male and female, and represents darkness and light, right? That which she's been talking about before, the light emanating from the darkness here. I want to get a sense of which is which here. That was the next primordial, already differentiated darkness divided into two principles, male and female. Okay. So at this point, there are two forms of darkness, Erebos and Nyx, is what I'm reading anyway, from which emanate the other two, Ether and Hermera, the light of the superior regions and that inferior terrestrial atmosphere, suggesting possibly the light of the two levels of light. So you have two levels of darkness with Erebos and Nyx, giving birth to two levels of light, higher and lower light. That's my reading on it. Light is born of darkness number two, darkness on the differentiated plane. And that darkness begets light under the influence of creative love. This goes all the way back to her idea of Eros. That's what creative love is, which is also cosmic desire. You can see how it got turned into a little cherubim with arrows, right? Because of the desire aspect. But this is really the will to be. And here she relates it to Fohat, called cosmic desire, or again, Fohat, the electric creative principles which make of all one and which produces the three, the correlation. So, but I wouldn't say that Eros or this cosmic desire is Fohat. I would say that it initiates Fohat. Through cosmic desire, Fohat begins its work. Right, so it's called forth by this high logos, first logoic being, to initiate creation, right? It's electric creative principles, which makes all one, meaning spirit and matter makes of them one as a result of this cosmic desire. So we get a little more idea of the relationship between these two. Okay. But she says all this with this tremendous gravity, and then she always has a cosmic. Now there's a question for a modest young woman, right? Because it's a huge question, right? Oh yeah, I saw a hand. Whose hand? Go ahead.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Tom, yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know whether I understand it rightly, but could you think in that way then that when the one becomes many, that division happens in the darkness and the light comes up only when those particles start joined by the attractive force, and this And it would be that way the light is born. I've always thought that, well, from darkness comes light and then things start rolling, but perhaps you have to have really the division for the polarities to get born. And when this second aspect in that way starts to unite them, then the light would appear. Or do I think wrong?
No, I think that's that's in keeping with what's being said here. You know, you have the first division is male-female principles of darkness, according to what she's saying here. And if you remember, if you go back to, you know, even back to this, you know, the first two of these are, there's no light yet. The germ that dwelleth in darkness, the darkness that breathes over the slumbering waters of life. So, you know, this isn't a condition where it's dark outside. This is the very nature of nature and quality of this first logos. It's, you know, it's pre-manifestation, and therefore it's before light as well. And then that darkness radiates light. So we have that akin to these two aspects of darkness, Erebos and Nyx, who then send forth two levels of light, Aether and Hemera. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, but in this explanation, HPP is more clearly a little bit different than the first one, because there she says that, or the book says that darkness emanates light. But now he takes these two principles, two opposites in this explanation.
It's still an emanation, though. You have, it's almost like the male and female, even in darkness, is necessary. And, you know, who knows what that means? Because after all, they're just figurative terms, right? Male and female. In this primordial state, you know, I would say it's the first and third logos that they emanate, or you could say their very existence brings forth the light of the superior regions. And that would be the quality of the second logos, which is, you know, oops, somebody's got a hot mic, which is described here. But I think this is all still pre.
What?
It's on a very high.
What?
Mikhail, no, do you have a live mic? Somebody has a live mic.
Am I making too much noise now?
Okay, I'll deal with this. Hang on a sec. Okay, it looks like problem is fixed. Okay. Yes, where was I? Yeah, that it is in this cosmic light. Sorry, here we are. It is in this cosmic light, or as a result of this cosmic light, that the inferior or terrestrial atmosphere can come into being, you know, because in a sense this is progressive. Erebos and Nyx are primordial, and then you have these two forms of light. But there's a huge, vast shift here between Aether and Hemera. The Aether brings forth the possibility, well, you could say it's completely noumenal, it's completely formless. And then through Hemera, the light of form, which is the light of matter, is able to come into existence under and through the agency of Fohat. Okay. All right, next up, any more thoughts or questions about this fascinating subject, deeply veiled in analogy and symbolism here? But Interesting that, you know, that he says that this is more of an explanation than exists anywhere in the secret doctrine. So you can kind of add it to the, you know, transmission that a HPB gave. All right. So next up we have that shadow appears under the form of primordial matter, allegorized, if one likes, in the shape of the spirit of creative fire or heat. If, rejecting the poetical form in allegory, science chooses to see in this the primordial fire mist, it is welcome to do so. HPB here uses the word shadow in the abstract, suggesting that primordial matter as the spirit of creative fire is as a shadow to the light that emanates from absolute darkness. So that would make it akin to that second or terrestrial atmosphere. In DK philosophy, we might say that the spirit or creative fire, the quote unquote fire mist, is the highest, most abstract manifestation of the third aspect, which is the primordial source of all manifestation within our solar system. We might look to the Udi subplane of the cosmic physical plane, called by DK the Sea of Fire, another term for fire mist. Okay, next up. Whether one way or the other, whether Fohat or the famous force of science, nameless and as difficult of definition as our Fohat himself, that something caused the universe to move with circular motion. As Plato has it, Isis unveiled gives us the full Plato quote. Could we get a reader here, please?
Magda, you want to read?
Yes. In Taylor's translation, Plato's discourse upon creation is rendered so as to make him say of this universe that he caused it to move with circular motion, when, therefore, that God, who is a perpetually reasoning divinity, cogitated about that God, man, who was destined to subsist at a certain period of time, he produced his body smooth and even, and every way even and whole from the center, and made it perfect. This perfect circle of the created God, he decussated in the form of the letter X.
Thank you, Magda. DK gives us more insight into this circular motion. Can we get another reader, please?
Scott, do you want to read?
A man is spheroidal in form. He can be seen as a circular ring past not, a sphere of matter with a nucleus of life at the center. In predicating this, we are considering the true man in his fundamental position as the ego, with the sphere of manifestation, the causal body, that body which forms the middle point between spirit and matter. As nine vibrations emanating from a central point, which in its pulsation or radiations produces three major vibrations of great force, pursuing a circular activity around the center. The nine vibrations pursue a diagonal path until they reach the periphery of the egoic sphere of matter of influence. At this point, they swing around, thus forming the well-known spheroidal form of the causal body.
Thanks, Scott. So these nine major vibrations are also the nine petals of the egoic body. But what we have in this analogy or symbolism is the ability of it to rotate, to pursue a circular activity around the center. And this is us, you know, this is who we essentially are. This is the form aspect of the soul of which we actually are. So in that sense, we truly are rotating spheroidal forms. Okay, thanks, Scott. So next up, could we get a reader for this, please?
Tom, do you want to read?
Yep. Or as the occult teaching expresses it, the central sun causes Fohat to collect primordial dust in the form of balls to impel them to move in converging lines and finally to approach each other and aggregate, Book of Jaya. Being scattered in space without order or system, the virtues come into frequent collision until their final aggregation, after which they become wanderers, comets. Then the battles and struggles begin. The older bodies attract the younger, while others repel them. Many perish, devoured by the stronger companions. Those that escape become worlds. When carefully analyzed and reflected upon, this will be found as scientific as science could make it, even at our late age period.
Okay, before I get into this, I want to make a clarifying comment about the relationship between light and Fohat. So Fohat initially merges, synthesizes spirit and matter. It literally binds them together, as it's described. From that union comes light, right? Light emanates as a result of the union of spirit and matter. That is the light that, and of course this happens at various levels, right? As was described in that section on the from the Secret Doctrine Dialogues. So hopefully that helps a little more. Okay, so first up, or as the occult teaching expresses it, the central sun causes Fohat to collect primordial dust in the form of balls, to impel them to move in converging lines, and finally to approach each other and aggregate. It's from the Book of Zan. Fohat, compelled by the cosmic desire to be, right, emanating from the central spiritual sun, uses the forces of attraction and repulsion to aggregate primordial dust or fire mist into fiery balls. It's really Fohat that embodies these forces of attraction and repulsion. Might be tempted to see this as an astronomical description of solar systemic creation, except for the fact that the process being described is happening with primordial rather than dense physical matter, at least initially. DK defines Fohat as, quote, the sum total of that which is active, animated, or vitalized, and of all that concerns itself with the adaptation of the form to the needs of the inner flame of life. So actually this Fohat has two phases, the phase described in this old commentary here, which is the fulfillment of the desire to be, that's the involutional path where Fohat binds spirit to matter. But then on the evolutional phase described here, where the form is adapted to the needs of the inner flame of life through Fohat, that's the evolutional cycle, and where Fohat works to actually release us from inadequate forms and re and that merge us into more adequate forms, again through the phohatic or electrical process. Okay, let's take a look at this Treatise on Cosmic Fire version of the early stages in the creative process. This is just a fragment, the first part of stanza two. It's actually about 3 pages long. It's the longest of the stanzas, but this serves to give us an idea of the will to be in action. Can we get a reader, please?
Anne Veronica.
You're muted, Anne Veronica. Are you there? She might have stepped away. I called on her before.
Tried okay. Something. Ariane?
Ariane.
Did you call on me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, we did. We did. Anne Veronica, yeah.
Yes, okay. Stanza two. Aum, said the mighty one, and sounded forth the word. The sevenfold waves of matter resolved themselves, and varied forms appeared. Each took its place, each in the sphere of ordained. They waited for the sacred flood to enter and to fill. The builders responded to the sacred sound. In musical collaboration, they attended to the work. They built in many spheres, beginning with the third. Upon this plane, the work commenced. They built the sheath of Atma and strung it to its primary.
Okay, so Fohat on the Atmic plane is the word, right? Sounded forth the word. In other words, activated Fohat. So, you know, electricity on the Atmic plane is, which is Fohat, is the word. So you can see how this interconnects here. Okay. Next, being scattered in space without order or system, the world germs. Remember, those are those cosmic noumenal sources, come into frequent collision until their final aggregation, after which they become wanderers, comets. So without order or a system suggests a time before all these many world germs became become regulated by the central force of the sun. The term comet, which, by the way, doesn't appear at all in DK's writings, no mention of the term, is a term given to those by HBB, to those cosmic lives that emerge from a quote-unquote lump of cosmic protoplasm, homogeneous and latent, to stream through space in order to strengthen its homogeneous organism by an accumulation of differentiated elements, and then only eventually settling into some system so as to become an inhabitable globe. Obviously, these are not the fully formed DITS physical comets that science knows to be made up of differentiated elements, but rather a primordial version of what will eventually become planets. Okay, I saw a hand. Yes, Ariane?
Yes, thank you for taking my question or comment. I want to go back to the slide about Fohat and Aum, please.
Okay.
Yes, this seems so important. I had no understanding of Fohat before you explained it today, so that's new to me, but I'm very, very thrilled to learn about that. But this idea of the word, and the word is God, I think this slide is so important because it also not only shows what's possible within us if we hear that sound, you know, at some point, you know, in our spiritual quest, we start hearing that sound, the Nadam, but also that the sound, there are different laws, not only the law of rebirth, the law of karma, the law of karma, which is called the law of cause and effect, or the law of harmlessness, but there's this law of octaves in which things are descending into involution according to a descending law of octaves. And although it doesn't seem to be commented on here, it goes in the opposite direction through will, that one could ascend an octave, a scale of notes, you know, seven notes, and go past the intervals, which is the third, you know, mi, fa, and si, do, this, you know, the seventh and sixth, seventh, and that one could, through awareness and consciousness, choose to work on evoking that. And the other thing that it seems to relate to is this idea of string theory, which I really haven't studied, but this idea that the music, the sounds of the spheres, which if we're lucky, again, we can hear, like you can hear a forest. I'm not talking about the leaves rustling. I'm talking about something else.
But, right. You could hear I know something. What you're talking about,
You could experience something on one plane visually, like a second ray person. I'm a second ray soul. Or you could experience it orally, you know, through your ears, maybe more of a fourth ray person. And so I just think that this slide brings everything you've talked about together today.
Well, that's great. I love that it is used as its primary force, the sound aspect, you know. Sound and color are one, DK says. He actually says sound is color. And, you know, they follow each other in rapid succession as expressions of Fohat. You have sound on the second and third planes, and then color on the Buddhic plane. So there, you could say the color is a densification of sound. It literally conditions the way color will manifest, you know, and you're still talking at a noumenal level at a Buddhic plane level. But thank you for your comments. And we're done for today. I started about 10 to 15 minutes late because of the technical difficulties that we had today. By the way, Mikhail, the link that was sent out 1 hour before and then just before this webinar was a link that connected to Dwayne Carpenter's webinar. And I think that's why we lost probably about 10 people today, because they tried that link and got nowhere. And they were just put in a waiting room forever. So the only way to get into this webinar today was through the Moria Federation primary link, not through the email links. So hopefully we can iron this out by next time. And thanks for attending. Also, I mentioned on Friday that I have jury duty coming up. That will not affect Sunday webinars, right? So the Secret Teaching of All Ages on the first Sunday will happen, no matter what happens to me in terms of jury duty. It will affect, however, the Treatise on Cosmic Fire webinar on the 28th, which is a Friday. I will send out, if you see that canceled, it means that I'm literally sitting on a jury that Friday. Hopefully by the following TCF, that will all be worked out. I'll be back, but just stay tuned is all I can say at this point. Again, let me check your chats to see if there's anything I need to answer. Yeah, I think that'll do it for today. So thank you all very much. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
So which email went out? Both the one that normally goes out was wrong?
Yep. There was one sent out an hour before and one sent out like minutes before, I think. They both hooked up to Dwayne Carpenter. And put one in the waiting room for Dwayne Carpenter. And I think people just thought that was a dead end. Hopefully that can be worked out by next time.
Because there should be a reminder that goes from, I think BL has them set up too as reminders. So were they both wrong?
Well, the last one, Michael, the last one, the last email that had only this webinar, when you clicked on the word link, it took you to Dwayne Carpenter's link.
Okay, but hang on a second.
So there's one.
I'm going to look at them right now. So here's one that was sent at 12 p.m., which was an hour